Brother Joseph, God bless you. I am Angela.
And I am Dora.
And it's nice to be here today with you on our radio.
And it's nice to be here today with you. I'm Joseph, Brother Joseph. God bless you all. What can I do for you?
Thank you. You said you had a message on 12 scriptures on how to be separated from the world.
Amen. Exactly right. Well, the scripture I gave you, and the first scripture I'd like to begin with, is 1 Corinthians 3:11 to 13.
1 Corinthians 3:11 to 13.
Thank you, if you can read.
For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
So, well, we have to be very careful how we build upon the foundation, the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. If we build our religion, our thoughts, our ideas, our interpretation, our denomination, our whatever, well, it shall be tried by fire, and there'll be very little left. Only what we do for Jesus, like soul saved, the gospel preached, love given, then that's like diamonds which doesn't burn out. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Well, I would like now to go to John 15:19 because I want to talk about there are two worlds. There is the world of man and the world of God. And it's a daily struggle, daily fight in the lives of our children. I have six children. And both me and my wife are trying to raise them in the ways of the Lord, and by the Lord's help, they're all believers. Lord, help us. And I know that this is something that every family needs and prays and wants and desires, every Christian family, to raise their children and to grow in unity in the Lord. And the one important point is how to be separated from the world. That is an indispensable ingredient. We have to be in the world, it's not we can get out. But in the world, but not of the world. So there are two worlds. One is the world of man, all the artificial stuff that exists today. And then there is the world of God, which is the creation all over the world, which is Jesus Christ, which are the God's children. And so this is what Jesus tells us on what to expect from the world. John 15:19. Do you have it?
Yes.
Thank you.
John 15:19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you.
Wow. So we are in the world, we are not of the world. So it's important that we understand that. First of all, we must not be a part of the world even though we are in the world. The second of all, Jesus is saying that the world hates us. Why? Because he, Jesus, has chosen us from the world. So this is the reason why the world hates us, because Jesus has chosen us. Third, the devil cannot digest the fact that Jesus has destined him to hell for rejecting the truth of God. And God has destined us to heaven because we receive Jesus. And that's one thing the devil cannot digest. So he's jealous, he's schizophrenic, please. He cannot control himself, he has to hate, he has to destroy and everything. And that's why, because rightly so, he was condemned to hell, and to hell he will go. And that's why he hates us, because he goes to hell, but we don't. But the thing is that we receive Jesus, and he had Jesus crucified. All right, next I would like to point out, what does God think of the Christ rejecting world? 1 John 2:15 to 16.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
2 Timothy 2:4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier.
So basically saying here, no compromise, love not the world, neither the things which are in the world. There's no way around this. We know that today false Christianity, gospel of prosperity is only trying to go around this. I don't love money, just I like to accumulate it. I don't love money, just money, but I don't love money. No, it's not like that. So just don't love the world. Money, it's okay if you use it for the gospel, if you use it for God's glory, if you use it for your family, for your rent, to eat, of course, take everything you need. The rest, you should dedicate it to God, to whatever. Your mission, your ministry, your gospel preaching, right? For all that is in the world, it's pride, yes.
The beautiful promise with 1 John 2:15 and 16 is that if we choose the world, we will pass with the world. It will die with us. But if we choose Jesus, that's eternal. That's forever. If we choose to live with Him and for Him.
Amen. Amen. Exactly right. No matter what it entangles itself with the affair of this life. So it's like once we are saved, we are a soldier of Christ. If we're not a soldier of Christ, we are not saved. All right.
Once we are saved, this world has nothing to offer us. Nothing.
Yeah.
Many of us tried. We've been there. There is nothing to satisfy us.
Look, we can learn from the armies of the world. When your country is in war, you're supposed to go to war. Unless you're a paralytic, unless you're in a wheelchair, or unless you're a little child, unless you're too old. All right. Like World War II, from, I don't know if it was 15 years old or 14, I forgot. But some country, they were enrolling children 14 years old to go fight in World War II. And until my father went two times in war, and then he was even a little bit old. He wasn't a young guy anymore. Two times they called. Second time they called him back, World War II, talking about. So it's like, unless you are a paralytic, unless you are handicapped, you are a soldier. You must have a mighty, mighty excuse not to go to war during the war. And so we should have an incredible reason not to be a soldier of Christ. Like, in other words, you must be in a wheelchair. But you're in a wheelchair, you can preach the gospel.
Yes,
people
yes,
on wheelchair,
yes,
they pass out gospel tracts.
Yes. Yes.
So we should send excuses back to the devil, and we are all soldiers of Christ.
Amen.
I mean, I know people have been, I was hospitalized, I know people who were hospitalized, and in the hospital, we were preaching the gospel, we
yes.
were passing out tracts. I was at the hospital, I was getting people saved.
From the stretcher, you were passing out tracts.
I remember that.
Yes.
It wasn't a stretcher, I was passing out tracts. In fact, you were giving me a hand. Remember?
Yeah, you were asking me, can I have a tract, please, to give it?
No, because I learned that by preaching the gospel, that gives you power. By preaching the gospel, that gives you strength.
Amen.
It keeps the devil away. It keeps your mind clean. Amen?
Amen.
So, beloved, here is the point. We must choose. We must choose who our God will be. Already, the Pharisees, they were officially serving the same God, Yahweh, but in reality, they were just serving the religion. So we must choose. Matthew 6:24.
No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
You cannot serve God and mammon. So you have to choose. Like Joshua, and this here is the next scripture, the next important scripture. Joshua talked clearly to Israel. Say, you cannot serve God if you don't forsake your idols. And in Joshua 24:15, Joshua told Israel,
choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
And, so like today, like Christian Israel all over the world, there are two Israel, carnal Israel, who needs to be saved still, and then there is Christian Israel, saved, going to heaven, but somewhere off the track, there are different type of Christian Israel. There is the Laodicea Israel, Laodicea Christian Israel, there is the Philadelphia Christian Israel, there is the Christian Israel virgin with the oil in the lamps, Matthew 25, and there is the Christian Israel, world Christianity, in other words, with the lamps completely empty. Not because they're handicapped, because they're silly. They just decided that they want to fill the lamps with worldliness. All right, so who are these? Me, you? Well, God is the judge. God knows, by the fruits you shall know, whose it is. Well, now we go to the next scripture. The next is Matthew 10:16. Who was it?
Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Matthew 10:16.
So what Jesus is saying, in case it escaped our attention, is that the world surrounding without truth is as a jungle full of wolves all around us. So you get up in the morning, you're entering a jungle. You get out of the house, hopefully you have a Christian house with a family that reads the Bible together, prays together, hopefully like we do. I have 6 children, and every day we pray together, and every day also with our brethren, with you and others.
Yes.
We pray together in our little Christian community. Blessed be the Lord. And it's wonderful. Our home, by God's grace, not because we deserve, is like a little oasis. Okay, here, everybody get up in the morning, we, in our community, we read the Bible, we go to bed at night, we pray together. If we watch a movie together, it's a Christian movie, or at least a movie with values. And but if you don't have a house like this, which is not very often today, okay, if not a community like ours, at least a Christian family, then as soon as you get out of the house, you are in the jungle. Sometimes even in your house, you are in the jungle with people, unbelievers.
Yes.
We know stories that really make you stand up. Thank you, Lord. So what's our defense? Here the question comes up. What's our defense in this situation? Jesus said, Matthew 10:16, here is the key. Be prudent, be simple, be loving as doves. And with the goats, with the wolves, be wise as a serpent. What a comparison Jesus comes up with. I mean, I don't have the courage to go to somebody and say, need to be wise as a serpent. Say, I'm not a serpent. Well, gee, that's what Jesus said. Now, Jesus didn't say need to be a serpent. He says wise.
Yes.
Because think the serpent is just about more or less the wisest creature, wise animal there is. I mean, you never see him, but he's there. The serpent is there. He's watching you. And that's why I remember when I was a missionary in India, in some villages, the women were carrying bells on their ankles. As they were walking, ding, 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 you know, because they lived, see, in India, there's a bunch of villages in the jungle, okay? I remember going through by train, and there were every 50 minutes, half an hour by train, there was a village. The distance are pretty good. I was in South India. So the reason is because usually a serpent doesn't attack you, because God put fear of man on every animal. That's what God told Noah when he came down from the ark. That will put the fear of man on the animals. The animals are afraid of man. So if you just stand your ground, you don't run away, the dog will not bite you. I mean, I know in Africa there are tribes, there is people living in the jungle that they go and take the meat from the lion's mouth.
Wow.
I remember somebody, we watched a video one time. Did you see, Angela?
Yes, yes.
Remember?
With wisdom, with prudence, they actually make it to have the lion not attack them, to stay aside, and they take the meat that the lion hunted.
Actually, the lion runs away, because what they do, the three guys get together like a team, and they march like soldiers. Boom, boom, boom. They march, they appear, whether it's like a lion with 5 or 6 lioness. We saw in this video, there were some 5, 6, 7 lioness. They were a big lion. So they appear, the three of them appear like, they look at them like...
Without fear.
Without fear. They look them in the eyes, and they begin to march. Boom, boom. They didn't have any weapons, they didn't have any spear, nothing. Just march. One. They march like soldier. And the lions, they look at them. See, the lions, they don't attack everybody, okay? The lions, they don't attack, normally speaking, they don't attack a crocodile, certain animals they don't attack, even though it's a... And so they try to study if it's worth the fight.
Right.
And there were this, remember in the video,
yes,
this group of lions eating, I think we're eating a zebra. And so these guys, they march for about some 20, 30 meters, and the lions, they just froze. As they approach, they started to run away. One by one, they ran off, they let the zebra, they pull out the knives from the bags, they cut off the best meat, put it in the bag, and took off.
Yes.
their power was simple. They were not afraid. So don't be afraid in front of the devil.
Amen.
Don't be afraid
Amen.
In front of the wolves.
Amen.
Don't be afraid in front of the enemy's wiles. Don't be afraid. Stand your ground. And in the name of Jesus Christ, you shall win.
Amen.
Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Thank you, Lord. So you are surrounded by wolves. You are surrounded by enemies. You're surrounded. What are the wolves, really? The devils, or people are demon-possessed, or people who are not saved. A lot of people unsaved, they're actually nice guys, nice people, that tomorrow will get saved. But some of them already decided, no, I don't want Jesus. And those guys, you have to really watch out, right? Like Jesus found out, like Jesus knew, happened with his wolves, the Pharisees. So praise the Lord. Our defense, I said, to be prudent, to be simple, to be loving, like dogs, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One point is, how do we grow in Christ and in faith? This is going to be the next scripture out of the epistle to the Romans. How to grow in Christ. Everybody wants to know, how do we grow? I want to grow. How do I grow? Where do I buy faith? Well, God tells us. Let's go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. That's the next scripture. Romans 12, 1 and 2. How to grow in faith.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, an acceptable and perfect will of God.
And perfect will of God. Wow. So that's how you grow in faith. How do you grow in faith to do miracles, to do healing, to cast out devils? This is how you grow in faith. To grow in Jesus, to grow in the love of God and in faith, and to obtain God's miracles, even to obtain the gifts of the Spirit, tongues, interpretations, apostleship, whatever you have the faith of, you can grow. Just work on it. All we have to do is, here is the key. Here is the key to renew our mind, which gets dirtied in the world daily. You watch TV, your mind got dirty. Okay,
sure, yes.
You cannot touch a glue and say my hands are okay. All right, you cannot stick a hand inside the oil after you change the oil in the car, took out the old oil. And say, oh, my hands are not okay. You go wash dishes, your hands get dirty. You have to wash your hands well. So you cannot go around the world, watch TV, go around the internet. You're here trying to watch something, looking for a Christian site. This naked girl appear, come to Ukraine, Russia. The girl's waiting for you. Wait a second. Your mind gets dirty because the devil comes and tempts you. And just a desire for that prostitute like that, already your mind got dirty. Okay, you resist desire. You resist that. But you got dirty. It's like you walk down the street and somebody throws dust on you. It's not your fault. They're just throwing dust.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Out of their mind. That's what the devil does. You got dirty. It's
yes.
not your fault.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, but you got dirty.
You still have to get cleansed. Yeah.
Okay. So whether you like it or not, you have to wash your face every day. At least your face. A good shower if you can.
Amen.
Okay, wash your feet, whatever you need. If you're walking around in sandals, you need to wash your feet every day, twice. In India, I used to take 2 showers a day. Okay, every time you go out for any reason, okay, come back home, you take a shower. Because first of all, you're so sweat. And then the place wasn't exactly clean. So, how do we clean our soul? How do we clean our mind? Well, we clean our mind by the Word. That's the water. How do you wash your brain? You read the Word, you meditate the Word, you think about the Word, you love the Word, you read the Word, you receive the Word, you love the Word, you preach the Word. That's how you clean your mind. So in one word, read the Word, meditate, that will clean your mind. That's how you go to sleep at night. Meditate on the Word. So therefore, that's all that we have to do. And it's really not that difficult. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6:14. That's the next scripture.
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness?
Okay, two more scriptures on this subject.
James 4:4.
Yes.
Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So
God,
it says,
help us, amen.
Look, there is a big key here. The key again, we repeat, be ye separate. Who says? Brother Joseph?
The Lord.
Save the Lord.
The Lord.
It's a commandment. It's not an option. It's no, let me change church, a church that let me do what I want. The church they preach about, be separate from the world, separate from the love of money, separate from this and that. No, let me change church. This pastor is too fanatic. No, this is Jesus, all right? Say, be separate from the world, all right? And I will receive you. What's he saying? If you don't separate, God is not going to receive you. Because they say in America, birds of one feather, they flock together. So if you like to hang around with the wolves, howling wolves, then you belong to the family. Don't tell me you like to make friends with the homosexualities and with the gay, and you like to go with the gay, and you're not a gay. Oh yeah, but I don't do it. No, you don't do it, but in your mind you already did. Don't tell me you like, you don't commit adultery, you hang around with prostitutes or with adulterous women or guys or people. No, sorry. Your friends will tell me who you are.
Yes.
They say, tell me what you eat, and I'll tell you the condition of your body.
Yes.
All right. Tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. So therefore, says the Lord, be separate.
Amen.
Question. What will happen if in heart and spirit we get out of the world? Okay, now let's go to the positive. If we get out of the world in the heart and spirit, okay? You cannot get out of the flesh unless somebody is carrying you to a certain place, all right? If there is a piece of stone waiting. Okay, except for that, for us it's not a dead stone. But for us it is, what kind of stone is that? A stepping stone to
yes.
go up higher.
Amen.
To the heaven.
Amen.
So, but what happens if we obey the word, if we in heart and spirit get out of the world? Simply this, and here we go to the next scripture, and which is in the book of John. Who has it?
I don't.
Thank you, Dora. God bless you.
John 15:15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all the things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you.
So, what will happen if we separate from the world? It will happen this, that we become the friends of God. Abraham was called the friends of God. That was in the Old Testament. Imagine, the Old Testament, the law had not yet been given. Already God calls Abraham without the law of Moses. He only received the circumcision and the tithing, because he paid the tithe to Melchizedek. But he was already called a friend of God. Only two commandments, circumcision and the tithing, were in action. The rest of the commandments didn't come out yet. So what happens? God calls Abraham my friend. Why? Because if you read I think it was Genesis chapter 18. Abraham tells God, wanted to ask God a question. He says, "Well, I am only dust." He says, "I'm dust," Abraham says to God. So here we see the humility of Abraham. Because what was he pleading for? Oh, give me money, give me healing. No, he was pleading for the life of Lot. He saw that, don't kill everybody. What if there are 50 righteous? Not even close. What about 40? Not at all. 30, don't even talk about it. 20, wasting time. 10, well, okay, now. Okay, we stop right here. Now, don't stretch it too much. In fact, there were just a couple. 3, in fact. Okay, the wife just ended up in a statue of salt. So, why does God call Abraham his friend? The answer is there. Abraham says, I am only dust in front of you. Right? So, and this is, when you reach the point, like Jesus on the cross prophesied in Psalm 22, that says, I am a worm, Psalm 22, prophecy on Jesus, I'm a worm, not a man. Jesus, a prophecy on Jesus like that. Okay, if Jesus makes himself a worm, rejected of the people, spat in the face. So, that's the way to become the friend of God. We have to become zero, below zero. The moment you're born again, we forfeit all our rights. We have no rights anymore. All the democracy, Republican, Democrats, blah, blah, forget it. Our right is the cross. Our right is the Calvary. Our right is the suffering of Jesus. When is necessary? I'm not going to sleep in the snow to suffer. No, excuse me. All right, that's a stupid religion. When the suffering has to come, well, then, okay, we'll accept it. Amen.
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 Oh, praise the Lord. So, welcome, dear friends of God. Friends, not the slave of Allah. Not the Muhammad was a slave of Allah. No, no. Jesus didn't come to get, he's not a slave driver. He didn't come to get a bunch of slaves, okay? Yeah. He doesn't need,
yes,
okay?
Yes.
He came to die in the Calvary.
Amen.
To make at his friends.
Amen.
He came for a bride. There are two churches, the Philadelphia church and the Laodicea church. The church with oil, the church without oil. Matthew 25. The church of virgin of Christ, okay, the bride, and the church not virgin, not bride of Christ. There are two churches, all right? You can see that, 2 Corinthians 11, 2. You can see that Matthew 25, 1 to 12, 13. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. I would like to share a poem with all our dear friends, followers, especially with the ones who don't know our radio we broadcast, don't know our YouTube channels, so the new friends and brethren. I would like to share with everybody, in fact, okay, the ones. This poem, it's by the famous man, his name was Charles Studd, and it's a beautiful poem. It's a short poem. Only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. If you would like to read it for me,
yes.
Appreciate it. Bless you and thank you for everything. Let's
yes,
go.
It's a beautiful poem. Only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then, in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, it will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, it will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life, it will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last.
When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow, thy word to keep. Faithful and true, whatever the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for Thee and Thee alone, bringing Thee pleasure on Thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, Thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to close with a salvation prayer with anybody that yet is not sure that he's saved, or maybe they go to a religion that they say that Jesus gives salvation today, takes it back tomorrow. Well, no, it's not like that. Jesus gives salvation, and that's it. It says the Bible, Romans 11, it says the gifts of God are without repentance. God is not like the world that gives you a gift and then wants it back. It's not like that. So let's pray. Anybody wants to receive Jesus Christ, can pray with me.
Yes.
A couple of words. Lord Jesus, forgive me all my sins.
Thank you,
Jesus. I receive you as my Savior.
Amen.
I receive you as the Messiah, the Son of God. I thank you for dying on the Calvary for me.
Amen.
Lord, help me to love you, Lord, and not the world, and to give you my whole heart and soul.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, help me to follow your example.
Thank you, Lord.
And to be in the world, but not of the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, and I ask you the gift, I ask you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And help me not to be ashamed to preach your word, to share your love to others. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I know you will help me to preach your gospel. And I'm waiting to get any mighty gifts you have for me, Lord Jesus. I want to start as I am, to do whatever little or much I can, Lord Jesus, like Apollos in Acts chapter 18. He was preaching the gospel before being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I can. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen.